You know, we took and celebrated Independence Day on Friday. We had probably barbecues, you had maybe fireworks we went to and raised our flags of the United States, expressed our gratitude for the men and women who died to set us free in this country. Most celebrations on Independence marked the victory, final victory, the struggle for freedom in this nation. Perhaps it marks American pride and boldness of celebration on July the 4th. Signing the Declaration of Independence, which actually the final treaty finished up on Revolutionary War on 1783, the 3rd of September. The Declaration was actually adopted on 1776 on July 4th. You know, it finally burned the bridges of the tyranny of England at that time. And there was, what we did was we just enjoyed our freedom. But you know what? We could not have this freedom until we had the independence that God richly gave us. The brave men who died and those who initiated this and realized that it was Almighty God who gave us our freedom. Not men, not colonies, not the pilgrims themselves, but Almighty God gave us those freedoms that we have. Do you remember or do you know if you are truly free? Are we free today? Are we free from guilt? Are we free from fears? Are we free from the feeling that we would have if we were scared to death of death? Are we free in the inside? Are we free from the greed that we have and the sin that we carry? And sometimes the things that we did that are beyond our control that we sacrificed for, are we free? You know, we eat the fruit that becomes God as we know if evil. There's evil in this nation. Sometimes there's evil in our hearts. Are we free from that today? You know, immediately Adam and Eve died. Why? Well, they believed the lie that Satan told them that they could just do whatever they wanted to. They didn't have to be commandments of God. They didn't have to do that. They decided on their own to say no to God. And what happened? They died spiritually. They ate of the forbidden fruit. Some people call it an apple. I don't know. It's a forbidden fruit, the Bible says. Not only did Eve be deceived, also Adam was, because Adam was right next to her when he took that fruit and she took that fruit. So they died spiritually immediately. Then something else happened to them. Their personality started to change. They started lying to each other. They started blaming each other for what they did. Sin entered into the world and it changed life completely for the rest of time. The Bible teaches a true freedom can only be found in the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's who we're free from. That's who gets set us free, is God Himself through His Son. Psalms 32:12 says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who chose for His inheritance." Now let's think about this for a moment. Think about this. This week you turn on the TV or however you get your news, you know, computer, TV, newspaper, whatever it may be. And you heard these three statements or announcements. First announcement was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court just issued this statement. Divine providence, that would be God, has given our people a choice of their rulers. And it's the duty of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Think of this one real quick now.
Christians for their rulers. I don't know if you're following the news or anything like that, but we need to pray for New York City in the next election. Just take a look at it. Now, this portion of this letter was to John Murray, October 12, 1816. Secondly, inquiries of the reporters reveal that almost every state legislature has passed a law requiring the all elected officials to take this oath. I do profess faith in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son, and I do acknowledge holy scriptures of the Old and New Testaments be given by divine inspiration. Think about that, if you heard that on the news today. Number three, legislation was passed today in Congress that affirmed that the Congress of the United States approves and recommends the Holy Bible for the use in schools. Could you imagine what would happen in the news media if those three things enacted? Well, in reality, each one of those statements that we just read and took a look at is historically accurate and also factual. This is what happened in the beginning of our nation, those three things. It was John Jay, the first church chief justice. He was often called the father of the Supreme Court, one of the primary writers of the Constitution, and he wrote this: "It is the duty of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." What a statement. Also, the state of Delaware, along with many others, which required office holders to take an oath affirming their Christian faith before they took office. And only did that in 1782, Congress approved this, that the Bible in our schools, and even they paid for those Bibles through the taxpayer dollars. Think about that. They paid to have Bibles in our schools, the government. And in 1844, when someone tried to remove it, they had a whole lawsuit against that. This is what the ruling of the Supreme Court was. Why should not the Bible, especially the New Testament, be read and taught as divine revelation in the schools, where the purest principles of morality can be learned and clearly so perfected from the New Testament? Think about each of those statements that we've just made. Here in this nation, our nation, things have changed over the years, folks. Beginning in 1734, a handful of preachers started preaching in this nation, the 13 colonies. Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, Gilbert Tennent, John Wesley, and many others. They were preaching all over this nation. They began to preach in churches, in streets, in open-air fields. They soon had crusades going on that they could not hold the people in churches if they were too large of crowds. And it's called this era was called the Great Awakening. Thousands of people came to Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. Whitefield traveled all over the place and was preaching. Benjamin Franklin wrote this. He said, "It was wonderful to see the change soon made in our manners of our inhabitants. From being thoughtless and indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all of the world was growing religious. So when no one could walk throughout the towns in the evenings without hearing psalms being sung in the streets, in the homes, they were singing songs all the time." In fact, Benjamin Franklin was so impressed with what was going on that he and many others helped build an auditorium to be able to hold 30,000 people so they could come hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, at that time, only had 25,000 people in the city. That's another place we need to pray for, folks. We need to pray for Philadelphia. We need to pray for our own city, but some of these cities, they really need prayer. Now, also, it wasn't only in Philadelphia, but also the 13 colonies. They were openly devout Christians, were about 10%.
But as the preaching went on, as the people got saved, as many came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, now there was about 50% of the colonies of the people were Christians. What a revival, folks, that spread throughout this land. The personal diary of George Washington, he recorded this prayer in his own handwriting. This is what he said in the prayer. "Let my heart, gracious God, be so affected with your glory and majesty that I may discharge those weighty duties which you have required of me. Again, I have called on thee to pardon and forgiveness of my sins. For the sacrifice of Jesus who offered on the cross for me. Thou gavest the Son to die for me and hast given me assurance of my salvation." See, I don't care what you read about the revisionist history or the modern historians. George Washington was a devout Christian, and he wasn't the only one of faith. Over a 10-year period, the political science professors in University of Houston collected and cataloged 15,000 writings of our founding fathers. Their goal was to determine the primary source ideas behind the Constitution by identifying the source of most often of those quoted. What source was it? The Bible. 94% of the quotes from the founding fathers came from Scripture, God's holy word. The point is that the culture and environment on the eve of the American Revolution was undoubtedly spiritual. It was not only physical, but it was also spiritual. And the focus dramatically affected men and women of this country, the birth of this nation. Next, we have the freedom of all. John 8:32 says this, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Galatians 5:1 says this, "It is freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." See, the Pilgrim Fathers of this nation, of this country, they left England for freedom. The tyranny that the Church of England put on them, they needed to leave. They needed to have the freedom to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. They took that difficult journey across the pond to do that. Strangely, though, nowadays, when people hear about freedom in our country, well, they think of it a little differently. Not freedom of faith, people thirsting in this land, they weren't thinking about that freedom. But the different kind of freedom they were seeking. Freedom to choose my own gender. Or freedom to kill innocent babies before they're born. Freedom to do whatever my flesh desires to do. I can do whatever I want to do. That type of freedom, that's what they're looking for. They basically seek freedom to sin at will. But freedom that Jesus Christ gave us through faith, through his truth, through his literally dying on the cross for our sins, was a freedom that we need today. No longer to be slaves of sin, but given that we can freely love God with our own hearts and our own minds. Then there are responses to one's freedom. There's a heathen girl. This is a true story that was bought at a slave auction for a sum of money, actually a large sum. The Christian man who purchased her bought her so he could let her free. And so he went and picked her up the next day. And she said simply, this is what he said. She said, "Master, I am ready to serve you." He replied, "Well, I bought you, but I didn't buy you for that. I bought you to set you free." And she was very surprised when she was handed her freedom papers. She had a big smile on her face.
She took a moment of that astonishment and she said, I'm free? You mean I can make my own choices? I can say what I want to say? I can go where I want to go? He said, absolutely. You're free. That's why I bought you, to be free. And she just fell at his feet with heartfelt devotion. And she said, my greatest joy will be to dwell with you and go wherever you direct me to go. See, in this nation, years and years ago, people of this country made laws to ensure that freedom was used for its intent purpose. That's to worship God, to glorify God, to live in freedom, to be able to have faith in Jesus Christ and to be able to worship Him the way we want to worship Him. We find that evidence actually in the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. What does it say there? It says freedom of religion. In other words, freedom of faith. So how many countries are there today out there in the world where they can't live free? They can't read the Bible. They can't purchase a Bible. They can't worship God openly. They can't proclaim Jesus Christ as their Savior. They may get imprisoned. They can even be murdered because of that in this world today, even today. But the nation didn't begin that way. It began by protecting people to ensure their freedom of worship. That's how it started out here in this nation. By giving freedom of faith 249 years Friday of that freedom. So that's what happened when the pilgrims crossed the Atlantic Ocean and landed here. They wanted to be free. So they put a nation together, a government together, to be able to have people be free. Free what? To worship God as they want to worship God. Truly, it's not happening today. It's sad what's going on in this nation today. The nation once cherished freedom to worship and to love God. Now we're growing cold in this nation, turning away from God. Look around. You'll see it. You can see it every day. We also know that churches are closing. Even churches in the Assemblies of God are closing because people aren't going to church anymore. They don't want to worship God anymore. You know, the new hot dog place on 18. I like that place. I enjoy it. Maybe too much. But you know what? That used to be a church. There was a restaurant that was in there before. There's a hot dog shop now. People aren't going there to worship God. They're going there to eat. What happened? Where's the zeal? Where's the burning passion that our forefathers had put in even our Constitution to be able to worship God in spirit and truth? The temperature of people are cooling down. They're starting to turn away from God. Now let's go back to the principle of freedom. What do people mean by freedom today? Do they mean like the pilgrims did many years ago? Like our forefathers did when they wrote the Constitution? But what about freedom with Paul and Jesus said in the New Testament? Sadly, no. It's not that type of freedom at all. See, they're not drawing closer to God. They're not drawing closer to Jesus. They're drawing further and further away from Him. When people talk of freedom, they mean freedom going away and distancing themselves from Almighty God. Freedom means something completely different to them. They want to break their relationship with God and not build a relationship with Him. They want to do their own thing. there are many people who are stealing away the truth, the meaning of true freedom, and changing its intended purpose. They do that. They're changing it today. The so-called liberals, there are many in that group that tend to associate anti-faith and anti-belief in God. That's their purpose. They push on that. I mean, even the word itself, liberal, when you think about it, is liberty. It's called liberty. In other words, freedom. But now they've twisted that word around. Liberals don't even associate anymore with God. The liberty, the freedom to worship and serve God. So we Christians have a responsibility to restore these distortions back to the original meaning and the purpose. You know, we read two Bible verses earlier from John and also from Galatians. And the scripture tells us plainly and very clearly, God is the one who gave us that freedom. The Lord Jesus gave us the truth, and the truth will set us free. And why did he say that? Why did he set us free? So that we can love God on our own. Set us free from the tyranny of sin and death to worship and love God. Almighty God doesn't force us to love him. No, not at all. When it comes to love, Almighty God is not almighty anymore. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Because God gave us a choice. He gave us a choice whether we want to serve him or we want to love him. We want to do what he tells us to do. He gave us that choice. I want to close with one more story. It's another true story. This story actually impacted me more than you know. There's a young convert on the west coast of Africa who was saved out of a terrible, horrible savagery. And she came on a Christmas day to give some money. As a rule, actually, she gave to give a sacrifice of praise. That's why she was giving this money. Now, this place was so poor that if they gave vegetables, they're giving a great offering to God. Most of them didn't even do that. Most of them just gave wildflowers that they picked as their offering. In fact, if someone gave actually a coin that was worth a penny or two, they thought that was a tremendous gift. Well, this 16-year-old girl had a coin that she gave. She got it out of her tattered clothing, and it was worth about a dollar. And the missionary said, I can't accept this. He refused it at first because he thought she stole it or she did something that was, you know, it wasn't a good thing to be able to give to God. Eventually he said, okay, I'll accept it. But at the end of the service, he got a hold of her and said, where did you get this fortune? She explained that very simply that in order to present to the Lord Jesus Christ an offering that satisfied her own heart for the love that she had for her King and King, for Jesus, for him. She had gone to a neighboring plantation and she sold herself as a slave for the rest of her life because she wanted to give the best gift that she could. What do we do with people? Are we messing around? She gave financially about what her life would be. She gave it all. Every bit of it, because she loved God so much. You know, this 4th of July weekend, we celebrate our freedom here in this nation. The freedoms the pilgrims and our founders gave to us. We are great citizens of a great nation. We have the freedom to love God and to serve Him. Hopefully, we're all citizens of heaven because we need to know Jesus as our Savior. He gave it all for us, folks. Tremendously. Let's remember those two verses again. Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do we have freedom in Christ? Do you have freedom in Christ? What does freedom mean to you in this nation, in your home, in this church? God wants the best for us, folks. But He wants us to serve Him and serve Him only. Let's bow in prayer this morning. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, God. Father God, we just thank you that we have the opportunity to serve you. We have that freedom that you gave to us by your Son's sacrifice. We had communion today representing that. God, help us to serve you every day. I know we make mistakes. I do every day. God knows I do. But I also ask God to forgive me, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But Lord God, I just pray for each person that is here, that today will be the day of salvation. If there anyone here this morning who have never said yes to Jesus and would like to know Him as your personal Savior, just raise your hand and put it down. Anyone at all? Also, those who here in this congregation have been saved for a long time or even just a short time. You say, Lord, I'm not actually putting all my effort on doing what you want me to do. I'd like to pray for those also. Any of those want to pray, raise your hand? And yes, I see those hands. Father, we just thank you for who you are. Our great and mighty God, our Creator. And help us, Lord Jesus, to draw closer to you, not far from you, like the rest of this nation is trying to do, go away from you. God, we want to draw near to you day by day, moment by moment. And I pray for each person who raised their hand, those who are even thinking about it, Lord God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will move upon them in a mighty way. We thank you, God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Adam, come.
Charles, stand up with me. Yeah, I like to have a challenge, you know. What is the challenge whenever I leave a service and it's not just to exit these doors feeling like, yeah, it's good, it's time, you know, but I don't know, maybe it's the dad in me, but nations succumb to a lie that sin and freedom are similar, that I can do what I want. And I think what's challenging to me is that I look at Joshua in chapter 24, and he's standing there before the Israelites, and he's like telling them, you know, you have this freedom too. You can go and serve the gods that you want to serve. And then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And did anybody else thinking about that, you know, for your children? And my challenge is I walk away today, and we talk about what is freedom. Use your car rides to and from wherever you're going, moments that you're together with your children, and challenge, yeah, pour into your family, pour into your children. What is freedom? Do you have freedom? And, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to look different. We're going to look different, but let's not squander the moments that we have together. Right? So the challenge isn't sitting through the service. The challenge is leaving the building and changing, making change, and be an agent of change. So here it is. Have a blessed and wonderful day. We're glad that we got to spend time with you. Find people to say hello to and spend a minute sharing in your life and their life. Don't be in a rush to get out of here because it's 12:12 and you want lunch. Far more things have far more worth than just exiting these doors without saying hello. So be blessed, be a blessing, enjoy your day. We'll see you next week.